At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Secrets to success? No thanks. I'm Sally Christensen, and this is Work Friends, a podcast from Argent, a women's workwear brand. I sit down with the most remarkable women we know to share upfront and unfiltered career stories, the good, the bad, and the unapologetically ambitious. Because when you're among work friends, nothing's off the table. Listen and follow on all podcast platforms and subscribe to the Argent YouTube channel for video episodes. Plus, follow us on Instagram at Argent for all the latest.
This is a tough one.
Is it?
It is and it isn't. You know what I mean? This guy, this man, John Candy, he makes any movie better.
Does he have the most delightful face in the history of movies?
I think so.
I think it's number one, isn't it?
I love his work. Even the movies people didn't like and consider bombs. This rewatching of his catalog was delightful. He's done it all. He's done so many different kinds of movies.
I'll be curious to talk about some of those supposed bombs.
Right.
I may or may not have some thoughts on those. Okay. Well, I'm not really torn. I mean, I think there was a slight debate between two, but not really. I do think there's sort of an obvious number one for me. $6 in my right nut says we're not landing in Chicago.
During holiday travel, some people get delirious. Some get delayed. And some get Del Griffin.
American light and fixture, director of sales, shower curtain ring division.
Neil Page got all three.
I was on my way home to spend a nice holiday with my family. Instead, I'm in a motel bed with a stranger.
So instead of Thanksgiving with his family, he's spending 3 days with the turkey.
Two happy clams just whistling down the road.
Flintstones, meet the Flintstones. They're the Marconi family.
Paramount Pictures presents
Wilma!
Steve Martin.
Ever been to Hawaii?
Yeah.
You see Don Ho while you were there?
See the second show, that's the best one.
Is that right?
Yeah.
John Candy.
Why are you holding my hand? Where's your other hand? Between two pillows.
Those aren't pillows.
In a new film by John Hughes. Planes, trains, and automobiles.
See that Bears game last week?
Yeah, hell of a game.
The first triple draftee in the history of draft class.
Oh.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. It was taken in the Thanksgiving movies draft. It was taken in the Steve Martin draft. And now I'm taking it in the John Candy draft.
That's right. I took it in the Steve Martin draft.
That's right. You did.
I got to say, I was considering it just because it's so great. But then I was like, oh, I already chose it for Steve Martin. So maybe I won't. So I'm glad you got it.
Sometimes you don't want to feel like you're repeating yourself.
Right.
But it's a testament to the movie's greatness that I feel very comfortable taking it, even though I've talked about it two times already. It'll live on forever. No matter how many times I see this movie, it still does the things that it did the first time, which is lots of laughs and lots of tears. It's sort of an all-time holiday movie. It has infinite legs. It'll make people smile and cry long after we say goodbye.
So, and some people call it the quintessential Thanksgiving movie.
Yes, I don't even know what would be a close number two. What else? I mean, we did a Thanksgiving movies draft. I took that dark Ang Lee movie. I can't remember the name of it. Oh, The Ice Storm. I took The Ice Storm. So.
Oh. The Ice Storm. What a movie.
Good movie, but, you know, not a lot of laughs.
Oh, my gosh. That movie is insane. What is it, like Christina Ricci and Elijah Wood out with a President Nixon mask?
Yeah, exactly. there's a key party. People are swapping wives. Someone dies.
But Planes, Trains is a classic. It's a classic John Hughes comedy.
And I think Candy should have gotten an Oscar nom.
I agree, 100%. As Del Griffith.
Del Griffith. Two of the most lovable, talented comedic performers of all time, used perfectly. Steve Martin playing it straight, letting Candy get most of the laughs, which is a testament to Steve as well.
Right.
But it's the perfect merger of comedy and drama. In terms of screen time, there's not a lot of drama here. But when it hits so well.
It's kind of a curveball. It sets you up. Like when I remember watching it on VHS in 1988 as a 10-year-old kid, and the whole first act is your classic comedy structure. Like it's pretty much, even at that age, it's what I expected. But that curveball of act three, or act two into act three, is a gut punch.
I know.
And it pulls at your heartstrings.
And it makes me miss him so much.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the documentary was so great about. The whole thing just made me miss him. It wasn't like, oh, that part really makes me miss John Candy, or that part makes me, it's just the whole thing. The guy has this sort of, like, immeasurable lovability. Like, you can tell everyone in the documentary was just like, yeah, how can you not love John Candy? You know, maybe he liked to drink here and there or indulge with food, but there's no dark John Candy stories. It's not like, oh, he had all these demons and he didn't know how to get rid of them. You know, he became very famous and that's always difficult. But a lot of these drafts and a lot of these comedy guys, we talk about their demons and there's, maybe some of them have some not great stories, but everyone loved John Candy.
There wasn't really, didn't seem to be a dark side. It was more like he was obsessed with comedy from an early age. And the drinking, the smoking, the eating just seemed to be his release valve, just to deal with it. He was doing so much work. And the other part is, like you said, he just is beloved, like, by his friends and family. And he was just, like, at his core, I could just tell from the documentary that he was just a Canadian dad.
Mm-hmm.
He was just a loving Canadian, like, dad. Yeah.
I know. It's so touching.
Wow.
It's one of the first moments is the daughter, she's like videotaping him. And he kind of smiles and waves to her in the camera. He's just so, it's one of those drafts where it's like, it's very fun to celebrate him, but then a lot of it just makes you sad. Also, the fact that he was 43 when he died, which as a kid seems so ancient. And then you get old and you're like, hold on. It's not really 43, right? Like, it was actually 67 when he died. No, 43.
Right.
What?
It's insane to me. Like, because he was always like 50 years old.
I know.
In my mind. Like you said, 50 to mid 60s. That's because he was fatherly. Like, there's a lot of roles where he was had that. But he was so... And it's funny that they say, like, his wife in the documentary says he was a big kid. And I certainly see that in, like, the goofier movies he's done. Like, mm-hmm. on SCTV when he plays characters with accents and stuff. That's when I see the kid. But I've never seen him as a kid. I've always seen him as a dad. And this movie isn't an example of that, but there are other movies I'm sure we'll talk about in this draft where he's just, he gives dad vibes, and like a good dad. Like Macaulay Culkin talked about how he was very protective of him on set.
Well, this is another great thing about this movie is that some of the people we've talked about in the past, like Chris Farley or Belushi to an extent, part of the conversation is, oh, we never got to see them grow into what we think they could have been, but mm-hmm. we really got to see it with Candy. And we might talk about it with other picks too. But the guy was just, he just sort of came out the gate so fully formed. He slides into these more dramatic beats really effortlessly. There's moments here where it feels like Steve Martin is watching him as Steve Martin and just sort of being taken aback, like, oh my God, I can't believe how talented this guy is.
Right.
So that makes it even worse, the fact that his talent was so evident already. It's not like we are going to wait for him to become the person we think he could be. Like, he really has it all here, and even more in other picks we'll talk about.
He was already fully baked, I think, from day one. Like, once SCTV came, you could tell this guy is a star. He's already a star. And that's a good point. His whole "you can hurt me, I like me" speech in Planes, Trains, it's just kind of Steve Martin is taking in how good John Candy is at listening, marveling at his acting, which is amazing. It breaks your heart. Like, you want to give him a hug, like, right away. I remember that first time I saw him.
He might be the most huggable man ever. Can you imagine if John Candy gave you a hug? All of your ailments would disappear immediately.
Right. It's just, I'd be on cloud nine for a year. Yes.
I know.
It'd be like heroin.
Well, they have an incredible rapport. John Hughes' script is just pitch perfect. You play with your balls a lot. I do not play with my balls. Larry Bird doesn't do as much ball handling in one night as you do in an hour. Are you trying to start a fight? No, I'm simply stating a fact. That's all. You fidget with your nuts a lot. You know what would make me happy? Another couple of balls and an extra set of fingers.
Oh, it's so good. And just him on the plane with Steve Martin, like, it's so claustrophobic the way it was shot, and Del Griffith just piles on. He just can't stop talking. And it's just, it's so funny.
Because he means well.
Right.
But it's like the worst thing you'd want on a plane is the guy who just won't shut up. And then he takes off his shoes. He's like, oh, my dogs are barking today.
I never did introduce myself. Del Griffith, American Light and Fixture, Director of Sales, Shower Curtain Ring Division. I sell shower curtain rings. Best in the world. And you are?
Neil Page.
Neil Page. Pleased to meet you, Neil Page. So what do you do for a living, Neil Page?
Marketing.
Marketing. Super. Super. Fabulous. Isn't that nice?
Look, I don't want to be rude, but I'm not much of a conversationalist, and I'd really like to finish this article. A friend of mine wrote it, so...
Don't let me stand in your way. Please don't let me stand in your way. The last thing I want to be remembered as is an annoying blabbermouth. You know, nothing grinds my gears worse than some chowderhead who doesn't know when to keep his big trap shut. If you catch me running off of the mouth, just give me a poke in the chops. Oh, that feels good. Oh, God, I'm telling you. My dogs are barking today.
Oh, man.
I love his look, too. It's a different look. It's sort of like the short, curly brown hair and the tiny mustache. You know, he looks different, too. It's a very distinct look.
It is. I remember when I watched it for the first time, that the mustache was kind of jarring. I was like, ugh. but then I eased into it.
I know. He reminds me so much, or I should say Shane Gillis reminds me so much of John Candy.
I was thinking that the other day, yeah.
I wonder if he was a big influence on him.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Right? There's mannerisms here. And Gillis is, you know, he definitely has range. But I kept thinking, like, oh, that little face Candy made, like, I kind of reminds me of Shane Gillis.
Yeah, I can see that. He's
Yeah.
present. Shane Gillis is like the young bro dude version of John Candy.
Yeah, exactly. Let me close this conversation by saying that you are one unique individual. Unique. What's that, Latin for asshole? That kind of tracks for me. Someone calls someone unique, like, yeah, I think that it kind of is a backhanded compliment. Like,
Right,
what are they really
right.
saying there? Of course, the incredible, he says we're going the wrong way.
Oh, John, I would pay to be on that set that day, just to sit in the back seat and just be in John Candy's presence as he's like listening to the radio, drinking, smoking. Like that, oh, that just seems like pure joy to me.
Hey, what's going on?
Joker wants to race.
Don't race. That's ridiculous.
All right, come on. Let's go. Let's go.
Put your window down!
You want something?
He's probably drunk.
You're going the wrong way! What? You're going the wrong way! He says we're going the wrong way!
Oh, he's drunk! How would he know where we're going?
Can you imagine being at the read-through for this?
Yeah. And John Hughes and Candy were like lifelong collaborators, friends. They did like 9 movies or something together, right?
I know. That was one of those things where I should have known, but then you see John Hughes talk about it in the doc, and it's like, wow, Candy was his guy.
Yep.
He's everywhere.
He was his muse, right.
Which says a lot, considering, you know, Hughes is one of the more prolific people of that whole decade.
Right. It was like a partnership made in heaven.
Totally, yeah. Similar sensibilities, I think.
Yeah, this is like two comedic actor geniuses at the top of their game.
Mm-hmm.
When you compare it to like Jordan and Pippin, it's another feeling like that.
It's a great comp. They play together perfectly. I mean, there's a ton of great comedic beats, but then we get the moment that will destroy anyone with a soul when Candy says, "I don't have a home. Marie's been dead for 8 years." And then your soul leaves your body at that point. I mean, I don't know how else to react to that. Really, the last like 10 minutes here are so beautifully sad, but touching.
Yeah.
The score is incredible, too. There's very little dialogue towards the end. He just brings him home and then has him meet his wife. Also, a really kind of, it's kind of like a love letter to marriage. Candy keeps his wife alive, and Steve Martin is so in love with his wife, and they exchange a look like, oh, he's finally home. That's why it's going to live on forever.
Yeah.
It does all the things we want.
Like, I love that it focused so heavily on Steve Martin and John Candy. It could have easily had more scenes with Steve Martin's wife and that the family and like complaining about how he's not at home or whatever. But it's really just a tiny backstory. And I like that because it felt like there was no extra fluff in this movie.
No, they just keep it on the two guys. Which is what we want too.
Yeah.
We want to see their journey. We want to see how this plays out.
Yeah. He seemed like such a mensch. They talk about how generous he was in the documentary. I love that.
I know. It's so sweet. He's such a lovable guy. One of the all time lovable guys. All right. That's my number one, Planes, Trains. It's the third time it's been drafted. I could say more, but I'd just be repeating myself twice.
Also love little Kevin Bacon at the beginning of this movie.
Oh, that's so funny.
It's just
the race for the cab.
Yeah, it's such a classic John Hughes thing that he sets up. Like, it felt like it could have been a scene out of Ferris Bueller. It's like, I love the Hughes universe so much.
Oh, it's one of my favorite universes ever. At some point, time travel will become possible, and then we'll be able to go back to the John Hughes days.
Yeah,
he does that rat-a-tat quick dialogue so well.
Yeah,
this is the convo. This is our two lovable leads. I had no idea it was your cab. Let me make it up to you. How about a nice hot dog and a beer? No, thanks. Just a hot dog then. I'm kind of picky about what I eat. Some coffee? No. Milk? No. Soda? No. Tea? No. Lifesavers? No. Slurpee? Sir, please. Just let me know I'm here. I mean, that's, you know, that's John Hughes. I would say that's brilliant, but that's just John Hughes.
Yeah. And just getting Candy in that playful back and forth with his co-stars, like when he gets into the playful space, it's like, I love it so much.
That's a great word for him, playful. If you were in a scene with John Candy, he would know exactly how to make you feel like you were doing just as much as he was. Great scene partner.
Yeah, and from the documentary, it sounded like Tom Hanks, like he kind of introduced him to that energy, playful acting.
Yes.
Which is cool. Yeah. Good first pick. I'm glad you got it, John.
I feel like I had to take it. Real quick. I mean, the doc starts with Bill Murray.
Oh, yeah.
What else do I need? That's it.
I know. He's like, what can I say bad about him? I can't think of one thing. And he's trying.
I know.
He was trying to find dirt on him, but he's just like, no, can't do it. Those aren't pillows. Great line delivery.
Oh, it's the best. It's the best.
Okay. This is a little tough because I know what I want to pick. I know what my pick is, John. But if I pick this one that I want for my number one, I know you're going to take the next one.
Well, you get the corner.
Oh, I do?
Yeah, you get back to back and then I go.
Why do I always forget how this works?
I don't know, but it's enjoyable.
We've done so many times. I'm such an idiot.
You're not the only one. This comes up quite a lot, I got to
say. Oh, good.
Someone will get the last pick and I go, you get two. And they go, oh, really?
I should know by now, but that makes me so happy because I, all right, here we go.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Real skin results start with one daily ritual. Meet Daily Microfoliant from Dermalogica. This iconic exfoliating powder activates with water to gently polish away dullness and uneven texture. It leaves skin instantly smoother and more luminous while supporting your skin barrier. Formulated with professional expertise to deliver visible results daily, even on sensitive skin. Discover your healthiest skin today. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at checkout for an exclusive gift with your $65 purchase.
This next one, this is him in my favorite of his dad roles. And it's touching and it's real. And it almost felt like I was talking to my own dad while watching this movie. It's also John Hughes, 1988, The Great Outdoors.
All right.
This is Chet.
You remember me, Chet Ripley?
How you doing?
This is his family.
You can run around here naked as a bear and not worry about running into anybody.
Oh God. No! This is Roman.
What a gas.
This is his family.
I'm waiting for their heads to rotate around and vomit pea soup.
They're about to spend 1 week together in the great outdoors.
We weren't invited.
Ah, they'll be tickled to death to see us.
Who invited them anyway?
But this is no holiday. This is war.
You wouldn't know a good time if it fell out of the sky, landed on your face, and started to wiggle.
Are you going to argue, or are you going to enjoy yourself?
Oh, no!
Dan Aykroyd, John Candy, The Great Outdoors, outdoor fun for the whole family.
That had to hurt.
John Hughes, script, directed by Howard Deutsch, however you say that name. Good 80s team right here. Who do we get to star opposite John Candy but Dan Aykroyd? This is Chet Ripley taking his family on a Chevy Chase vacation-style trip, not to Wally World, but to up to the lake. Take out the papers and the trash. Immediately, it's just joyful, playful John Candy. And he's got the two kids in the back, and he's got his wife, who he already has chemistry with. And they go up to the lake. What's the big twist of this movie? He gets a big surprise of his brother-in-law, Roman. Played by, I love that this character that Dan Aykroyd has, Roman, exists in the movie. Because it's like, it's far from a lot of parts I knew him from, of course, like Ray and Ghostbusters. And Puppy Dog. No, this is him as one of his like sleazy, bassomatic SNL characters. He plays one of his like sleazy con men, and he's so good at it. His voice was like made for it. And John Candy's reactions in this movie are so delightful of how irritated he is with Dan Aykroyd. There was just something about his scenes with his son that was so real. He's just like, yeah, give me a hug. Like, Dad, why do I give you? Come on, give your dad a hug. And then the whole thing's like, yeah, breathe in that country air. Come on. Your lungs fill with city air. And there's such a warmth to him that I felt, this is what we were talking about earlier, John. Like, that's, I can't believe he was 43 when he died.
I don't buy it.
Right?
He was 76.
Because he was like 56 in this movie. That's how he felt. That's how old. He just is, oh. He's such a contradiction. He's like a playful kid, sure, as his wife said, but he's also like a freaking protective dad.
Mm-hmm.
He's like going to take care of you and pay for all the dinners.
Right.
Which he did.
Yeah.
And this movie, just to me, like I almost picked Summer Rental because this movie is very close to Summer Rental because you can also feel him as protective, loving, generous dad vibes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you, did you see Summer Rental?
I've seen it a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah. I rewatched it for this. It's good. But something about John Hughes, Summer Rental was Carl Reiner was behind that one. And he captured the funny of John Candy for sure. But The Great Outdoors, John Hughes, something about his collaboration with John Hughes, there was more focus and you, what it was probably really like to have John Candy as a dad. And you've seen that, I'm sure.
Yeah. I think Reiner is more focused on the comedy.
Right.
Whereas Hughes always tries to keep it grounded in some way.
For me, Chet Ripley is like up there with like Steve Martin in Parenthood as the best dad.
Right.
Like those two characters to me are like fighting. And Father of the Bride, Steve Martin too. Like, plus we get, I don't know if you remember, his story about the bald-headed bear.
Oh, remind me.
Oh, my gosh. Chet Ripley. Because my dad was like that. He liked just... my dad had has a great sense of occasion. Like, he liked to take us on trips and stuff. Like, to the ski lodge. So that's why it felt close to me, too. And he takes him up there and, you know, he takes his son fishing. He does all the things. But at night, John Candy tells this story about when he was there. Whether it was true or not, like 15 years ago, and a bear broke into his house and he had to shoot it. And he tells this story. It's scary. It is like John Candy's going there and like Dan Aykroyd's like, he's getting scared too. And the wife is like, all right, Chet, maybe this story isn't, you should let the kids go to bed. Like, no. It might just save their lives. And I'm like, I'm terrified.
A bear story. A true bear story. See, Connie and I honeymooned up at this very same lake.
Big spender.
We stayed at my uncle's cabin.
Uncle George?
Yeah, that's right. One night we were getting ready for bed, and we heard this terrible noise out by the trash cans. You remember? And I went downstairs to check it out, looked out the window, and there was the biggest, baddest bear in the North Woods.
Sure, Dad.
No, it's true. It's true.
This bear was over 8 feet high, with big white teeth, fangs stained pink from whatever it killed before it got to our cabin. It was frightening.
Oh, it just makes my skin crawl thinking about it. But, and then he takes his drink and he throws it into the fire. Because it might be the bald-headed bear. And the flames go up and like, what the hell are you doing to me? I've had like 3 drinks here. You're trying to give me a heart attack. And it's like, it just feels lived in. It's again, like, feels like a real family trip you're taking with them, which was John Hughes's talent, I think. Again, it's both of them. Like John Candy's screen presence plus John Hughes's world building. It's gold.
Yeah, it is gold.
It's absolute 5-star gold every time to me. And then this movie's fun because, like, they go to the town and there's a guy in town who they meet at the bar who's been struck by lightning.
Of course.
And John Candy's like, yeah, how many times have you been? Really? He's like, six times. Wow, that's a lot. 66 times.
You fellas met Reg?
No, I don't think so. How you doing? Roland Craig. Pleased to meet you.
Chet Ripley. How do you do?
There's quite a hairdo you got going there, Reg. You gonna have a neo-skunk thing? Or...
Roman, what are you doing?
Well, he's got the hair.
Well, you don't have to say anything. His hair turned white because lightning hit him. Yeah. He's been struck by lightning. How many times is it now, Reg?
Six times.
Six times.
Sixty-six times. God, that's gotta hurt.
So that's fun. We get like John Hughes usually has a great batch of supporting characters in his movies, which that. But then the whole movie ends with like there's a dramatic thing where Roman's trying to con Chet out of some money and has him write him a check, and they have a fight, but then Dan Aykroyd Roman's conscience has him turn around. They come back and they have to face down a bear together. The actual that he was talking about does exist in the movie. This is again great physical comedy from Candy too. Running away from the bear, and he gets in. He's like, "Hey, honey, want a sandwich?" And he's like,
"Come on in, I'm making you a sandwich."
Big, ooh, big.
Big, all right, we'll make a big one.
Big bear.
Big bear.
No, true, out there.
We're glad you're home, honey.
Big bear, chase. Big bear, chase.
What is he saying?
What? Big bear, chase me.
Oh, and there's a great play on words. Here's a scene I love. They go water skiing, and Roman is driving the boat, and he just goes too fast. He's going, he's like, "How you like that, Chet?" He's like, "Bastard!" He's yelling bastard at Roman. And Dan Aykroyd is like, "Faster? Okay! If you say so!" He's like on one ski at a time, so it's like, it's funny family adventure. The great outdoors.
Super fun movie. I could see how this would get lumped in with Summer Rental. People's wires probably cross when they think of those Candy movies. I could see that.
Right. Yeah. That's what I was thinking when I was watching it. I was like, this could be when I watched Summer Rental, because I hadn't seen it since I was a kid. When I watched it last month, I was like, oh, this could be Chet Ripley. Fun, goofy dad, but he's like protective, generous, all that stuff.
Has nice moments with the kids when he's trying to give them like a real talk.
Good. Yeah. Equal parts sentimental, but also funny.
Yeah.
Why I picked this as my number one. This is how I love to remember John Candy. He's the dad vibes.
You still have a surplus of options.
I know. There's a sidekick lane. There's a cameo lane where he's amazing. where he comes in for a very short time.
There's a lot of lanes, dude.
But I think I got to pick this one. I got to pick this one just because it's so good.
Follow your heart, Dennis.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
There's never been a better time to get outside and experience the benefits of nature. Discover nearby trails and explore the outdoors with AllTrails. Download the free app today and find your outside.
Springtime is almost here, and if you've been itching to redo every room in your home, Bob's Discount Furniture can help. When you shop at Bob's, you get wow-worthy everyday low prices on fabulous furniture for every room. Everything from stylish mid-century dining sets and top-rated Bob-O-Pedic mattresses with the best warranties in the business, to pop-up sleeper sectionals, all for a fraction of what they cost elsewhere. So, stop in or shop online and get wow-worthy pieces for less. Only at Bob's.
It's the peak. I think you know what I'm going to say. It's his career peak. And I know we've been talking about John Hughes, but we might as well keep going. 1989, Uncle Buck.
Where do you live?
City.
You have a house?
Apartment.
Own or rent?
Rent.
What do you do for a living?
Lots of things.
Where's your office?
I don't have one.
How come?
I don't need one.
Where's your wife?
Don't have one.
How come?
It's a long story.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
How come?
It's an even longer story.
Are you my dad's brother?
I'm your dad's brother, all right.
Buck Russell had always been the black sheep of the family.
I'm stunned that I'm related to you.
Until one night.
Buck, we have a problem with the kids. We're stuck for somebody to watch them.
Oh, please, not that.
Can we trust him?
My brother, for God's sake.
I don't want to let him get into that Satan stuff or any of the new chicks. I'll leave that for me. Wow. I'm kidding, huh?
Now, he's making them breakfast.
Cigar?
No, thanks.
Making them lunch. And making them crazy.
What did you do?
He's irresistible.
And I want to ask you why I'm so attracted to you.
I wouldn't even guess at that.
Oh.
He's unbelievable.
I'm Anita Horgar.
I'm Buck Melanoma. Molly Russell's wart.
He's...
Would you just... Let
John Candy.
Give me...
As Uncle Buck.
What does he like to drink? I've been leaving the toilet seats up. Is that what the blue water is? It's not good for him, huh?
Uncle Buck, the new comedy from John Hughes.
You have much more hair on your nose than my dad.
Well, nice of you to notice.
I'm a kid. That's my job.
Coming soon to a theater near you.
This would have been my second pick.
Yeah, see? I knew, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
I was like,
come on.
John's going to take this one, so I either got to take Great Outdoors or Uncle Buck. And I went with Great Outdoors just because of the dad thing, but he also plays a lovable schlep loser who can't get his life together as Uncle Buck Russell. Many will say it's the peak of his career. Many will say it saved his career. I say it's just another glorious stamp in the passport of the John Hughes and John Candy collaboration.
Was the box office not friendly before this for a couple of years?
Yeah, there was some rough spots. I think the same year he did Who's Harry Crumb and Speed Zone, and they both were really big bombs. I love Who's Harry Crumb, by the way.
Well, that might come up.
We'll get into that later. I love it. I tried to watch Speed Zone, and he's not really in that. He's more of a cameo thing for that.
What's Speed Zone?
It's better we don't talk about it.
Okay. I mean, that feels like such a generic, like, 80s cokey, we need a movie tomorrow. Speed Zone.
I think they wanted that to be Cannonball Run 3. And they said, nobody remembers Cannonball Run anymore. Nobody cares. Burt Reynolds isn't here. Let's just call it Speed Zone and put it out there. Anyway.
Don't you wish we were there for the cokey 80s? It's like, all right, Dennis, you're hot right now. We're gonna slap you in another one tomorrow.
Yes, you and Eugene Levy too. Like, yeah, let's get those guys from SCTV. Let's get them.
Right, Speed Zone.
Okay, just this movie again, like a lot of his movies, like Planes, Trains. It has heart, and it's also hilarious. It opens with the family, his Uncle Buck's brother and his wife. His wife's dad is sick. And they have no one to watch their kids go to school while they go and deal. They have to go fly out of town and deal with the sick. And Uncle Buck is like the last resort. You can tell the mother is just like, does not like him at all. She's one of a great John Hughes snooty uppity character who has no time for her kids. Like she's eating with them at the beginning. Like, well, you kids are going to stay here. And I have to go deal with my dad. And the daughter's like, oh, what a lovely meal you've created here for us, mother. Oh, and it's like, builds this character who's, we don't know exactly what he does.
No, we're not sure.
He obviously drinks. He's a gambler. He has this girlfriend, Shanice, played by Amy Madigan, who wants him to commit, who wants him to grow up.
But future Oscar winner, Amy Madigan for Weapons.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. She's fantastic.
I believe in it. Sorry.
No, please. It's I had just seen it myself. So Shanice, the name that was.
Great name.
Never heard it before or after.
No, it's singular.
Shanice trying to give him like a steady job, like give him. Buck Russell gets a call in the middle of the night. It's his brother. Hasn't talked to him in a while. He says, I need this favor. I need you to watch the kids. And here's just a great moment. That reminded me of like one of my uncles. He's like, oh yeah, come on, bring him over. I set up a couple sleeping bags, throw him in the corner.
Throw him in the corner.
He doesn't even remember how old they are. Like,
Bob, you old pissant. What are you, drunk?
Yeah. he's just lovable, playful John Candy. You can tell he's just loving the bachelor life. And he just doesn't. He just likes the way things are at, but there's like a little part of him that wants to grow up. It's just a sweet story, but like it's set up so well. Like when he gets there, he goes to the wrong house.
He's yelling outside.
Wakes up the neighborhood. I also love the through line of this movie is that song Wild Thing, the Tone Loc version.
Yes. Right.
It's like kind of his theme song.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of grounds it. Like this is who this guy is. As soon as you hear the Tone Loc song, that car. Oh, my God.
Phenomenal.
That car of his. Oh, this is how I was going to start. I was going to say the line. His niece's boyfriend and her are making out in front of the school when he's coming to pick her up. And the car is just really loud and pops. And the kid's like, you ever heard of a tune-up? You ever heard of a ritual killing? Yeah, Buck is such a character. Like that. That scene where he wakes up the neighbors but the next morning is great. It's like the two little kids played by Gabby Hoffman and Macaulay Culkin. Who are you? I'm your Uncle Buck. It's just fun. And then
I have an uncle.
Yeah. The daughter is like so mean to him.
So mean.
She sized him up like she's equally mean. She's just that plays the angsty teen really well. She's mean to her mom as well, but she's like particularly scathing and mean to Buck, and she's so condescending. And like Buck tries to keep it light, but like Candy's really good at listening in a scene, so there's another moment that grounds it. Like, I'll make them breakfast, you don't have to worry about it. Is there a particular reason you're riding me so hard? He kind of flips it and but she's not playing along. And then as much as like a fun party guy he is, he's really like, again, like he can't help but have these Canadian dad vibes.
Yeah, I mean, the premise of the movie is basically, who would be the world's best uncle? John Candy. And you're like, yeah, of course. I would love for him to be my uncle.
And he spends the movie just like riding that line, like between wanting to bet all his money on a dog track. But at the same time, he's protecting his eldest niece, who's dating this creep. But at the same time, he's making giant, gigantic pancakes.
When you see that as a kid, you're like, well, I'm going to love this man forever.
separate the men from the boys.
There you go.
Jen, I got you now.
Happy birthday!
Woo!
I hope you're hungry. You should see that toast. I couldn't even get it through the door.
He's effortlessly funny. That's a duh moment. Hey, Buck, you got a minute? I got lots of minutes. And then when he's arguing with Shanice on the phone, I got to watch my brother's kids. I can't start work with you on Monday. And she's like, oh, I know. You just think I'm trying to manipulate you and control you. And then they go back to John Candy on the phone. Like, he's just the bit of just he can't literally can't say a word. And I'm like, see, right there, that's Second City, John Candy. You're like getting back to his comedy roots. It's like, again, that's just the perfect marriage of him and John Hughes. John Hughes, I'm sure he just, oh, he's so good at creating that world where listen, I'm gonna pick you up every day. Like he's a responsible guy. He does the right thing when it comes to his nephews and nieces. Listen, I'm gonna be here and I'm gonna pick you up. And if you're not out there, I'm gonna wear my pajamas and walk to your homeroom and pick you up. And then there's like the big climax or the big, when he needs that money. So he's going to go to the dog track, but he's so conflicted. It was like another Planes, Trains, Automobiles, like touching acting moment. He looks in the rearview mirror at his two young niece and nephew. He was, I can't take them to a dog track, gamble with them. You know, what kind of a example would I be?
It's a very sweet moment. It's so simple, just seeing them in the backseat. Yeah. It also helps that it's maybe the two cutest kids in the history of film, Macaulay Culkin and Gabby Hoffman. They're just absolutely so adorable. And the fact that they had careers, so they're clearly talented way beyond their age. That's part of the charm of this movie. The fact that you have like two real actors as the kids.
Oh, yeah. And how perfect was the interrogation scene?
Iconic.
Are you married? No. Why? Why not? It's a long story. You have kids? No. Why not? It's an even longer story.
Where do you live?
In the city.
Do you have a house?
Apartment.
Want to rent?
Rent.
What do you do for a living?
Lots of things.
Where's your office?
I don't have one.
How come?
I don't need one.
Where's your wife?
Don't have one.
How come?
It's a long story.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
How come?
It's an even longer story.
Are you my dad's brother?
What's your record for consecutive questions asked?
38.
I'm your dad's brother, all right.
You have much more hair on your nose than my dad.
How nice of you to notice.
I'm a kid. That's my job.
Truly iconic scene. Maybe, no, it can't be number one. Is it number two, his defining scene? What's if we say number one is I Like Me, I think that has to be two, right? Him and Macaulay?
Oh, yeah, it is.
Right?
It's up there. It's got to be. It's just played perfectly. And the documentary just made me remember how funny that scene was. But also, like, again, in real life, I guess Candy was very protective. And he could tell Macaulay's dad was not a good guy.
That must have been so meaningful to him.
I know. He said he just took her aside like, hey, kid, everything okay at home?
I also love just in general when adults talk to kids as if they're adults. That's always funny to me.
Yes.
He's like, a lot of people hate this hat. It angers a lot of people. Just the sight of it. I'll tell you a story about that on the way to school. Him and the kids are just so great together.
You guys seen Tia?
She took a breeze, Yubi.
And she promised me she was going to look after you guys this evening. She promised me. So much for promises. Does anyone in this house know how to keep a promise? Well, I know you two guys do, I know. You know, I had somewhere very important to go to tonight. This is how I make my living. This was very important to me. This was my whole year was based on tonight. It may be peanuts to your dad, but it's my living. I have no choice. I don't care what your parents are going to say. I have to take you with me tonight.
Where?
To a racetrack. Here we go. You have to go to the bathroom?
Nope.
You're sure?
Yep.
This is going to be fun, you know. Beautiful horses, interesting people.
And you want some serious coin, right?
Well, sometimes, yeah, but that's not the real reason people go there. People go because of the beautiful horses and the Colorful jockeys and...
What was it? We don't have a cat. Get out of here!
Easily say this is his defining role, Uncle Buck.
Yeah, it is. It's like, it's the peak of his career. It's also like, plays to his best qualities and John Hughes's too, I think.
Definitely.
And yeah. It's funny. Was he the best at it? Was John Hughes the best at balancing sentimentality and humor?
Yeah, I think he was, because his sentimental spirit is so strong that I think it elevated him to like a really special place. He consistently got great performances from people, even from people who didn't do much after they collaborated with him. So he just saw the best in people as performers, and he really knew how to curate a character for them. And Candy here, it's a different role. He's really like the strong protector. He's kind of scary. When that clown shows up drunk.
I was just about to talk about that.
And Candy knocks him out. Like, you really do buy it, don't you?
I was at this all-night bachelorette party. Mike Starr.
Mike Starr, yeah.
Great character actor. Funny Farm, Dumb and Dumber. He's been in some great ones.
The LaTanza Heist from Goodfellas.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Mike Starr.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a few drinks before, but, you know, I'm not going to perform in front of a bunch of kids. Listen, you four flush and sack of... Punches him right in the nose. Like, we get some great physical comedy there. That was amazing.
Or when he's in the bowling alley and the sleazy guy is kind of curling up next to his niece. He really sells it here. It's a really great showcase for Candy. Doing some different stuff. Being tough and kind of scary. But in a protective way. It's always endearing.
That hat, trench coat, and him holding the... Is that image? It's frightening, but it's like he's the protector too.
Yeah.
Nat? Bug. I think there's some similarities there. I love that he gets revenge on that kid. Like, they both get revenge on that creep boyfriend at the end.
It's so good.
Like, he's running away without his pants, screaming in the street. And then he hears the car again come after him. It's like, yes, sweet, sweet justice and revenge from Uncle Buck Russell. Oh, that's it. Oh, wait, please. The mole.
Yeah, of course.
Because it's equal, again, equal parts funny, equal parts like, this guy's great. Like, how touching is that? When he's like, I don't want to know a kid who's not a dreamer. So she doesn't take a thing about her career seriously. She's six. Because it begins with the whole mole thing. You know, Uncle Buck, melanoma, you know. And he tries to cover up that he's not looking at her mole.
I'm Anita Horgarth.
Buck melanoma. Molly Russell's wart. Not her wart. Not her wart. I'm the wart. She's my tumor. My growth. My pimple. I'm Uncle Wart. Just old Buck Wart Russell. That's what they call me. Or melanoma head. They'll call me that. Melanoma head's coming. I'm sorry, uncle. Maisie Russell's uncle. I'm her uncle. Her mother set up this conference with you.
I'm assistant principal here, as you've probably noticed from the indications on the door.
This door?
Outer door.
The outer door?
Yes.
Because there's nothing on this one.
That's just about enough of that. I've been an educator for 31.3 years, and in that time, I've seen a lot of bad eggs. I say eggs because at the elementary level, we are not dealing with fully developed individuals. I see a bad egg when I look at your niece. She is a twiddler, a dreamer, a silly heart. She is a jabberbox. And frankly, I don't think she takes a thing in her life or her career as a student seriously.
She's only six.
That is not a valid excuse. I hear that every day, and I dismiss it.
I don't think I want to know a six-year-old who isn't a dreamer or a silly heart. And I sure don't want to know one who takes their student career seriously.
Great pick. Great movie.
What did he say at the end? He's like, here's a quarter. Why don't you go in the back alley and have a rat gnaw that thing off your face?
And it's so sad at the end. I mean, it's not really sad. It's just touching when he waves goodbye to the people and he gets in the car with Shanice. and the kids are kind of sad that he's leaving, especially the teenage niece, because now they've finally bonded. Because for most of the movie, she's like insufferable. And then finally, he wins her over.
I know. And she reconciles with her mom. It's great. I'm sure studios tried to get him to make another one.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure everything John Hughes did, they wanted a number two.
Of course. Like Ferris Bueller, all that stuff. They wanted more. And they even had a TV show, I guess, Uncle Buck.
Who was Buck?
I forget who it was. Another Kevin Meaney, maybe? Another big comedian. But, it was like most of those shows. They only lasted like 13 episodes. But
yeah. Can we remake Speed Zone?
Oh, no.
I can't get over that title. I just love it.
Yeah.
You and Quentin starring in Speed Zone. I'll have a screenplay by tomorrow morning.
No, I guess. And then Uncle Buck, like John Hughes and Candy probably just knew that they wanted to leave it alone. Let that be its own thing anymore. And it probably be overexposed and it would ruin it. Yeah. So I remember that. I saw that one in the theater. I was like loving it. Uncle Buck.
It's great. It's a great movie.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
There's never been a better time to get outside and experience the benefits of nature. Discover nearby trails and explore the outdoors with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your outside.
Real skin results start with one daily ritual. Meet Daily Microfoliant from Dermalogica. This iconic exfoliating powder activates with water to gently polish away dullness and uneven texture. It leaves skin instantly smoother and more luminous while supporting your skin barrier. Formulated with professional expertise to deliver visible results daily, even on sensitive skin. Discover your healthiest skin today. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at checkout for an exclusive gift with your $65 purchase.
Do you think you know where I'm going?
Give me a second. I think I do. Okay. Go ahead.
Look, do you realize how happy you were with her? That is, of course, when you weren't driving yourself crazy every day. Come on. Some people will never be that happy. I'll never be that happy. What am I talking to you for? You don't know anything. March 9th, 1984. Splash.
Bauer. Alan Bauer has a very successful business.
Okay, Bauer, you're ruined. You're finished. You're a ghost in this business.
How'd you like some bananas at cost?
Deal.
He's got the wisdom and support of his brother, Freddie.
I love this guy. Do you hear me? I love him. Give me a kiss. What's the matter? Are you too big? Give me a kiss.
I just want to meet a woman. I want to meet a woman and I want to fall in love. Not much.
And worst of all, Alan Bauer feels with all his heart that he doesn't have one.
Freddy, something in here is not working.
There are worse organs not to be working.
We're to Cape Cod, Massachusetts.
And then, one day, accidentally, from out of the blue, it happens. Just looking at her is pure ecstasy. Just touching her is a lifelong fantasy come true. Just being in love with her plunges him into a wondrous world of rapture and enchantment. Just one problem stands in his way. A little secret she's trying to keep all to herself.
There is a mermaid in New York City.
How come she's got legs?
She has legs out of the water. She has fins in the water.
What about a woman showing up naked in a public place, Freddy?
Well, I'm for it, of course.
Can I come in?
No!
All right, let me in.
I'll be right there. I'm just changing.
That girl is a mermaid.
All my life, I've been waiting for someone. And when I find her, she's a fish. Nobody said love's perfect.
She's really hungry.
Daryl Hannah, Tom Hanks, and John Candy. Splash, a fantastic tale about a fantastic tale.
This is the second time I've drafted Splash. I also took it in the Tom Hanks draft. I love this movie.
Yes.
It's a great concept. The Lowell, Gans, Babalu, Mandel script. Hanks is great. Hannah, they have great chemistry. It's such a fun idea for a movie. The love story, all of that. But Candy, as this horned dog mensch, is so great.
What an entrance. Who put all this shit here?
Apparently, this was sort of his Johnny Toronto alter ego, which I didn't know. And then I learned from the doc, which makes me like it even more. Just the way he's dressed is so suave.
The petty cash? It was a cleaning lady.
I mean, it's one of those sort of like lights out performances where every minute he's here, and similar to the other picks, most of it is comedy. But then the quote I had, when he's giving his brother shit because Hanks is upset that the woman he's in love with is a mermaid, that's a real moment. Like, you really buy it.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean about the mensch. You know, we talked about him as the great dad and the great uncle and the great family man. It continues here. He's the great brother because he's so protective of his little brother, Tom Hanks.
So how is she?
How is she? She's a mermaid. I don't understand. All my life, I've been waiting for someone. And when I find her, she's a fish. Nobody said love's perfect.
Oh, Freddie. I don't expect it to be perfect, but for God's sake, it's usually human. Every day, people meet and they fall in love. Every day, and look what I got.
Look what you got.
Yeah, let's look at what you got. Let's take a good look at what you got. People fall in love every day, huh? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah? Well, that's a crock. It doesn't work that way. Look, do you realize how happy you were with her? That is, of course, when you weren't driving yourself crazy. Every day, come on. Some people will never be that happy. I'll never be that happy.
I also love how they have similar energy in the movie.
Yes, they feel like brothers.
Right. It's like some movies try to use the dichotomy between them. Like, oh, one's the loud one, one is the quiet, nebbish one. No, they're both like loud assholes.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
What are you doing? This is my desk. I have a system on this paper. He's like, well, I just landed you the client of the year. There's a flourish of his scarf. Like,
let's the scarf. I love it.
Probably some of Ron Howard's like best work ever, directing a scene.
It's up there for me. I go probably Parenthood 1 and then this 2, I think.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, him, just the whole energy of, like, the fish and, like, the guy wanting his...
Johnny Toronto.
It was, like, a personality that people talked about in the documentary.
Yes, that he sort of had, like, a, I'm going to be a star.
And I'm the center of the table, and I'm gonna take care of everybody in the room.
I'm going to get the check.
Yeah. And I'm going to get the check. Yeah.
Right.
That's how it felt as in Splash. Great.
I love it.
He's a great pick.
And the racquetball scene too, which has a great real world story attached to it.
Ooh, it's a good one. Yeah.
Because in the scene, Candy can't keep up with Tom Hanks at all. He looks like he's going to have a heart attack. And apparently the night before they shot that, Candy went out to a bar, not expecting to really get after it. But lo and behold, who was there was a little fella named Jack Nicholson. So Candy ends up going toe to toe with Nicholson at a bar all night, getting hammered. And then he shows up, but it plays into the energy of the scene in an immaculate way.
How long have we been playing?
About 5 minutes.
Oh, God. My heart's beating like a rabbit. You, want a beer?
No, thanks.
Tell me this. If you're not in love with her, how come these little things she does drive you crazy so much, huh?
Little things? Freddy,
The woman learned how to speak English in a single afternoon.
He's like the most hungover he's ever been. It's like, how could you not just keep drinking with Jack Nicholson?
Oh, you risk death. You just go until one of you dies. But Candy's like, how long have we been playing? 5 minutes?
And despite that, despite his hungover state, the physical comedy is still sharp.
One of the best.
Like when the ball comes back and hits him on the head and he's like paralyzed and then falls down. Like, that's as good as any physical comedy you could muster up. Yeah.
It's everything he does here. The shot of him like sitting above the tank, smoking a cigar. You just, all of these picks cement him as one of the most endearing screen presences ever.
Yeah.
Like if he's in your corner, you're going to feel good.
And it's like you said earlier, like not many people can do both. Not many people can play a sidekick, but also play the lead.
Yeah, I think that's a testament to his unselfish nature.
Because I can think of, like Splash, I put it in the category of like Brewster's Millions with him and Richard Pryor. Like he takes up just the right amount of energy in the scene.
Yeah.
As the sidekick. Brewster's Millions, Armed and Dangerous.
Eugene.
Him and Eugene. Volunteers, another one with him and Tom Hanks,
uh-huh.
Which is probably one of my favorite of his characters' names. Tom Tuttle from Tacoma.
That's where Tom and Rita met, I believe.
That's right. Tom Tuttle from Tacoma. But Volunteers, the script was not as good. One of the things about Splash, it had a really good script, too.
Oh, it's such a tight script. Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously an over-the-top concept, but they play it so sincerely. So the script is, it's great. I love Splash.
And I'm sure Candy had a lot to do with that, for how grounded it felt.
Yes, I'm sure.
Oh, aside from Ron Howard, too. He was already showing his skill as a director, too.
He gets his brother Hanks, and they're swarmed by, like, an ocean of reporters. John Candy's like, is anyone here from Playboy magazine? No? Then we're not talking.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.
Yes.
All right, let's team up on Who's Harry Crumb. Because I find this movie to be a great showcase for Candy. I guess it's underrated compared to his true classics.
Mm-hmm.
But this is such a fun movie. I remember seeing it a bunch as a kid, and then I thought it was delightful on the rewatch. So let's talk about it for a little.
Overall, it's like silly fun. And he's having fun. And like, why the hell not? It's just, it's him doing, you know, Inspector Clouseau.
Right. He gets to be a bunch of different characters.
Yes. And which are freaking hilarious. Each one of them. They don't make these kind of movies as much.
And this is where I really thought about Gillis. Because I don't even know if people would have the inclination to do something like this, which is a showcase. But this is something that I think Shane Gillis could do or maybe would want to do. Potentially.
Like, he was Harry Crumb, private investigator. It was a huge, awesome showcase for his physical comedy. Like, it was kind of Austin Powers before Austin Powers. It was more him like a private eye Clouseau, whereas, you know, like Mike Myers did a very similar thing with physical humor, parodying the James Bond genre. But this had a great cast. I compared this one to another one that I liked, which was Delirious.
And I thought it was such a fun idea. This guy could type something and it'll just like happen.
Yeah, I mean, the script had its problems. You kind of know what you're getting into. Like, if you go thinking you're going to see Uncle Buck, you'll be disappointed, sure. But it's like,
Right.
it's fun. It's just, those are just silly. And that's a lane he goes down. He was the voice of a talking horse in Bobcat Goldthwait's Hot to Trot. The guy loves being silly. Johnny LaRue, kid. You know, kid.
Agree about the cast though, with Who's Harry Crumb. We got Annie Potts, Janine from Ghostbusters, looking hot. We have Jeffrey Jones, but it's a good cast. Like it's a, I remember I was watching Uncle Buck on Tubi. It finishes, and then technology says to me, "Would you like to watch Who's Harry Crumb?" And I said, "You're goddamn right, I do."
Yeah.
And I, as soon as I saw the poster, it just put me in a good mood.
Of course, it's a great.
Some of the characters he plays are outrageous, but it's in the spirit is so genuine and so funny here. And the physical gags when he's doing the exercise bike and it takes off and he goes through the wall.
It's amazing. Yeah.
I love that stuff.
When he's on the ceiling fan
Yeah, I know.
and he's so dizzy that he can't stand up straight.
When he's in the vents.
I showed it to my nephews and they were like howling.
Great kids' movie, right?
Yep. It was a good, right. It's designed that way. And like, it was a time, I think he blamed the marketing, like the studio. Oh, the studio buried my movie. You know, they can put all this money into Ghostbusters 2 promotion that summer, but for Harry Crumb, he was just kind of bitter about that, which rightfully.
The infamous summer of 89.
Yeah, of
Interesting,
course.
yeah. I mean, Candy's, of course, so much fun here, but it's not the kind of movie where, oh, when he's not on screen, you lose interest. Because all these side characters are so funny, too. Like everyone's going for laughs. Even we get Joe Flaherty when he's watching the TV
Yes.
and he's screaming at it, and then Candy flies through the vent. Like the
Yep.
whole movie is like that. It just there's gags every 2 minutes.
Yep. I was delighted watching this again.
Had a great time watching it. What else? You have any other ones? I mean, I have one that's a big one.
I will say, let's talk about Cameo, John Candy.
JFK?
JFK, well, yeah, that one's like, oh my gosh,
Yeah.
he is amazing in that. Like, and
Dude.
it's his one like really dramatic role in JFK. Though I consider, again, going back to John Hughes, I love this movie and it didn't do well, but I loved it, which was Only the Lonely.
Talk about it, because I don't remember it very well.
It was on the more dramatic side of John Hughes. It was about him as a cop, and it was him and Maureen O'Hara playing his mom. He brought her out of retirement to play his mom. And she's like the protective mom, and they have that kind of codependent relationship. And he wants to start a family, but his mom is so overprotective and controlling. But he falls in love with Ally Sheedy, who's a funeral makeup artist. They fall in love, and you know, the mother and Ally Sheedy have their dynamic. And also, his second banana in that movie is Jim Belushi, who's like the woman. So again, great world building, and he's just so lovable as like as a sweet bachelor. So that I felt like was one of his great dramatic turns. And I'm not sure why it's overlooked.
That's a good shout out.
But JFK, you
You a mouse fighting a gorilla.
know what I'm saying, Daddy-O? He's like almost scary in that role,
I know he's sweating profusely.
and that's real.
I'm sure it is.
I read because he was. They said in, you know, I don't know if it's true, but they said on set, being directed by Oliver Stone and working with Kevin Costner, he was nervous. So he was sweating.
You know, it's supposed to be New Orleans, so it's probably 116 degrees there.
You dig?
Digged. I think it's really, especially because it's Candy, that makes it even more fun.
Yep.
I mean, that cast is like, it looks fake when you look at the IMDb.
But it reminds me, right, it's insane. But it reminds me of things you and I have discussed, John, in the past, of like wanting to see Farley do more dramatic stuff. You want to see John Belushi do more deep dramatic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like we got a glimpse of that with Candy. Like the darker. He didn't go dark. Like he did deep stuff, like Planes, Trains, and as I said, just at Only the Lonely. But like this, there's a sinisterness to JFK. I wonder what this guy's like when he's alone.
It's those Canadians, man.
Yeah, they have
They have those sadistic smiles. They lure you in.
Great leading man, great sidekick, but also great cameos. We got JFK. We've got Stripes.
That was the big one. This is when he starts to become a movie star.
Stewardess, is there a movie on this flight? Just that laugh. That laugh is the best. Steve Martin talked about it in the documentary. He's like, he's got such a genuine laugh that's just fun to listen to.
But I'm a shy guy, you know, I'm a shy guy.
Yeah. And you forget of his other great cameos. We got the Blues Brothers. We got National Lampoon's Vacation.
The Moose should have told you.
Park's closed. The Moose should have told you. Yes. Probably my favorite cameo of his, which was Home Alone.
It was in the running because it's so great.
Right. It's as much as the physical comedy with the burglars is great. Like this is his improvisation with Catherine O'Hara while they're sitting in the truck is like some of the funniest stuff.
It's so good.
Like it's so dark, but like the way he's telling it is so like you were just saying, like the Canadian smile. Like he's like, you know, he left him at a funeral parlor all day. The kid left there. You know, he's, you know, after a year or so, he started talking again. Jeff Barron's like, well, maybe we should stop talking about this.
They've got the polka band.
Gus Polinski? Kenosha Kickers?
That's what I mean about he'll just come in and play for a day or two.
Yep. And he was equally good at that. And then last couple things I'll say, he also had like a, he was kind of a Disney brand too for a bit. He was under the Disney, he was the voice in Rescuers Down Under, and he did Rookie of the Year and Cool Runnings.
Yes.
And Cool Runnings was like very successful. It was like his last big successful movie, but it was like he almost had a second career as a family dad actor. Like, you know.
I mean, the totality of his career, considering it wasn't that long, is so impressive. You know, Rookie of the Year, like I remember as a kid, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
And Cool Runnings still feels like it's sort of part of the zeitgeist in a weird way. Like I still hear it referenced.
Wagons East was a mess. And that was famously the movie where he passed on set.
Yeah.
Overnight. The script, I don't know. Have you seen that? Wagons East?
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's too many characters, too convoluted. They tried to cram too much in, but there's moments like, and you could tell Candy was rough. Like he was heavier than he'd ever been. Similar to like the Farley Almost Famous thing, but there were moments like because he was supposed to take these settlers all the way east in these covered wagons, and he's like, there's another Western comedy, and there's a line where he's like, we leave at dawn, noonish. That always made me laugh, but
oh, that's great.
But I'm glad beyond that, his last thing I thought was a charming movie. You know, didn't have the budget or, you know, behind it, but I liked it. The one movie he directed for TV, which was called Hostage for a Day. I recommend it to you, John.
Okay.
And he has a little cameo in it. It's about a guy played by George Wendt. It's kind of fun. Like, yeah, it's like George Wendt is his muse for this movie, Hostage, and his wife is cheating on him and steals his life savings. And he reconnects with an old flame of his in town. And he can't figure out how to get his money back. So he pretends to be captured by Russian hostages. And then the irony is like, and George Wendt's very funny. He's on the phone, like doing the Russian accent as the guy. And the irony is the Russians actually do come in. And John Candy's one of them. It's fun. It's another silly, fun movie where you could tell he was coming from his Second City roots. So anyway.
Oh, awesome. I'll check that out.
Yeah. I think it's on Tubi. One of those.
Of course it is. All the good stuff's on Tubi.
Yes. Tubi, Pluto, or yeah, that, exactly. Canadian Bacon was okay. I like his impatience. Like he's playing an American who doesn't like Canada in that movie. That's kind of fun.
That's a good twist.
And he's impatient. He's like, drop the puck, drop the puck, drop the puck, drop the puck. Let's go. Covered everything.
Yeah. And there's a lot to cover with this guy.
I do love that Conan O'Brien story in the documentary. Like, it sums up how I felt about my comedy career. Famously, I guess he went to Harvard while Conan was in charge of the Harvard Lampoon. Do you remember that? Oh, John Candy was everything you wanted him to be. He was Johnny Toronto. He was just like waving to everybody. It was fun. But then in a quiet moment they had later, like when they were waiting for his car or something, Conan's like, yeah, I'm thinking about doing this full time, doing comedy. I just got to figure if I want to do it. He's like, hey, kid, you don't do this because you want to do it. You do it because you have to.
You want to hurt me? Go right ahead if it makes you feel any better. I'm an easy target. Yeah, you're right. I talk too much. I also listen too much. I could be a cold-hearted cynic like you. But I don't like to hurt people's feelings. Well, you think what you want about me. I'm not changing. I like me. My wife likes me. My customers like me. Because I'm the real article. What you see is what you get.
I've been spending too much time away from home. I've been home for years.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today.
DSW. Let us surprise you.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.